Found Habakkuk chapter 1. Stand with us and let's read the Word of God. The burden which Habakkuk the prophet did see, O Lord, how long shall I cry, and thou wilt not hear, even cry out unto thee of violence, and thou wilt not save? Why dost thou show me iniquity, and cause me to behold grievance? For spoiling and violence are before me, and there are that raise up strife and contention. Therefore the law is slacked, and judgment doth never go forth. For the wicked doth compass about the righteous, therefore wrong judgment proceedeth. Behold ye among the heathen, and regard and wonder marvelously, for I will work a work in your days, which ye will not believe, though it be told you. For lo, I raise up the Chaldeans, that is the Babylonians, that bitter and hasty nation, which shall march through the breadth of the land to possess the dwelling places that are not theirs. They are terrible and dreadful. Their judgment and their dignity shall proceed of themselves. Their horses also are swifter than leopards and are more fierce than the evening wolves. And their horsemen shall spread themselves, and their horsemen shall come from far. They shall fly as the eagle that hasteth to eat. They shall come all for violence. Their faces shall sup up as the east wind. They shall gather the captivity as the sand. They shall scoff at the kings, and the princes shall be a scorn unto them. They shall deride every stronghold, for they shall heap dust and take it. Then shall his mind change, and he shall pass over and offend, imputing this, his power, unto his God. Father, we are grateful this morning that we have this wonderful privilege to come together in the house of God. Thankful for all of those that you have brought together this morning in the house of the Lord. I ask you to help us focus our minds, Lord. Give us an appetite for spiritual things. Help us this morning, Lord, to take in the Word of God. Pray that you'd enable me by the help of the Spirit of the Lord, by the help of the power of the Holy Ghost. Help me, Father, to be able to deliver what's needed to this congregation. Father, instruct our minds and challenge our hearts and cause us to seek after the Lord until he come and rain righteousness upon us. Show mercy to our nation, Father. We live in crisis times. And Father, we realize that we are either part of the problem or part of the solution. Pray that you'd help us this morning, that in this service we'd see the will of God for our lives, and we would submit ourselves unto your plan and your purpose. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. I have an unusual message this morning. This is the Sanctity of Life Day. It's a day proclaimed by the President of the United States of America. And I want to preach this morning on providence in politics. The prophet Habakkuk expresses in my text his frustration with his nation that is full of violence and wickedness and injustice. And he expresses frustration with God, who he feels like is doing nothing to address the problems in his nation. He complains about the breakdown of civil order in Judah, with the resulting violence, the injustice, the political dominance of the wicked. And he questions the silence and the seeming inactivity of God in the face of all this wrongdoing that's going on in his nation. But God answers him. In my text, God answers him. And he answers Habakkuk, breaks his silence with alarming news. Judgment is on the way. Judgment in the form of this nation of Babylon, powerful, unrestrained, viciously cruel. God has not been asleep, but he was preparing his instrument of judgment against a nation that had defied his laws, neglected his commands, and now had angered God over time by the injustice in their nation. You see from my text this morning that injustice that is unaddressed by a nation will be addressed by God. I said injustice which is unaddressed by a nation will be addressed by God. Here is what Habakkuk complained in verse 4 of my text. The law is slack, judgment doth never go forth. Justice is not meted out. The wicked compass the righteous, therefore wrong judgment proceedeth. So in Israel, justice had failed. And since justice was approved, injustice was approved, and justice was neglected, now then, God is going to address the injustices in Judah. The Bible says in Proverbs 17 and 15, he that justifieth the wicked and he that condemneth the just, even they both are abomination unto the Lord. The character of the people in authority in any nation is demonstrated by the judgments that they render. And I ask you this question this morning, and I want you to ponder it carefully. Should we be concerned about the character of our leaders in the United States of America? It is the character of our leaders that's manifested in the judgments that they render. And in any nation where injustice is unaddressed, God will address it. I want to point out to you this scripture in Psalms chapter 12 and verse 8 that says the wicked walk on every side when the vilest men are exalted. When men who are wicked and vile sit in authority, then the wicked throughout that nation feel comfortable and abound on every hand, sit in positions of authority themselves, exert powerful influence in a nation when the vilest men are exalted. There are two major injustices that brought about judgment in the time of Habakkuk. One was the oppression of the weak by the powerful. Traditionally, in history, the rich rob the poor. If you've been to these third world countries, you will see that the problem is not the poor robbing the rich. It is the rich robbing the poor. It's those who have power who prey on the vulnerable in that society. And the people who are in authority use that authority to milk the poor of their society and prey upon the vulnerable. If you look in Jeremiah chapter 7, Jeremiah was a contemporary of Habakkuk, prophesying about the same time God was about to send judgment upon Judah. Jeremiah chapter 7 and verse 4, Jeremiah has been sent to the house of God, to the temple, to preach. And he stands at the temple and rebukes the people of Judah. And in verse 4 it says, trust ye not in lying words, saying, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord are these. And what these people were doing is that they were trusting in their temple. They said, God dwells among us. This is the house of God. And as Brother Mike mentioned in our Sunday school lesson, they were trusting in the house of God protecting them in spite of their wickedness. For if ye thoroughly amend your ways and your doings, if ye thoroughly execute judgment between a man and his neighbor, if ye oppress not the stranger was the alien. We would call them an immigrant. If you oppress not the stranger, the fatherless, the widow, the vulnerable people in your society, and shed not innocent blood in this place, neither walk after other gods to your hurt, then will I cause you to dwell in this place, in the land that I gave to your fathers forever and ever. So Jeremiah complains about the fact that injustice was being perpetrated in Israel, and the weak and the vulnerable were being oppressed by the powerful. I want you to understand this morning that America is no stranger to the judgment of God. The Civil War is an interesting event for many people in the United States of America, and it's boring history for a lot of other people, but to the discerning spirit, it is another demonstration of the fact that God addresses injustice in His time and in His own way. In America, back in those days, men and women were bought and sold in this country like cattle on the market. Slave ships plied the Atlantic Ocean, human cargo chained and stacked on deck, sometimes 18 inches between them. They lay there for weeks. They crossed the ocean. Many of them died, thrown overboard to become food for sharks. Children were separated from their parents. Husbands and wives auctioned off to different farms and plantations. It was John Quincy Adams who one day was at an auction, saw a young woman about to be auctioned off and separated from her husband and her children. She broke loose from her master, ran into a tavern nearby, climbed up the stairs, leaped out an upstairs window to try to commit suicide. She failed. She was crippled. And the master, seeing that she was no good to him and wouldn't bring anything on the auction market, just walked away and left her. Slaves could be beaten at the whim of their master, killed without consequence. Slave masters feared education and religion. They preferred to keep their slaves ignorant, forbidding them to have religion, or else regulating their religion. Slaves practiced their religion in America like Christians in communist countries, slipping into the woods to meet in secret to worship God. They sang songs like this: "Nobody knows the trouble I see. Nobody knows but Jesus." Some of them became martyrs for their faith in Jesus. And America was ahead of Hitler in practicing eugenics. Slave men and women were selected according to desirable traits in a slave, bred like dogs and cattle, and sold on the market, right here in the United States of America. The cry for justice from that oppressed race, ignored by many that was in power, was heard by God. From the opening volleys at Fort Sumter in South Carolina to the surrender of Lee of Appomattox 4 years later, divine judgment proceeded. That war produced 600,000 casualties. 600,000 casualties. 30,000 in one day at Antietam in Maryland. 55,000 in 3 days at Gettysburg. When the war was over, the South's economy and infrastructure lay in shambles, and poverty stalked the South for generations. And I can remember much of the poverty that still lingered in the South when I was just a boy. And so God judges when injustice is not addressed in a nation. God will address injustice. Secondly, there was the shedding of innocent blood in Judah. If you remember, there was a king by the name of Manasseh. He was the son of Israel's good king Hezekiah. King of Judah, he reigned for 55 years. He was Judah's most wicked king. It is said in 2 Kings 21:16, moreover, Manasseh shed innocent blood very much till he had filled Jerusalem from one end to another. The Bible tells us that Manasseh was taken into captivity, and in captivity he repented. He was brought back home. He began to dismantle the idolatrous altars he had set up, demonstrated his true repentance for what he had done. But when Babylon was sent by God a few years later to conquer Judah, listen to this. Listen to me. Scripture says, surely at the commandment of the Lord came this upon Judah to remove them out of his sight for the sins of Manasseh according to all that he did, and also for the innocent blood that he shed, for he filled Jerusalem with innocent blood, which the Lord would not pardon. Now what that means, it does not mean that God did not forgive Manasseh for the innocent blood that he had shed. He truly repented. But the injustice that had been done and the innocent blood that had been shed cried out for justice. And even though this man had repented, there was still multitudes of people that injustice had been wrought upon them, and it demanded justice, and God would not overlook the innocent blood that had been shed in Jerusalem. Glory. Hear me now. Romans 13 tells us about civil authority. It tells us that civil authority has been given the sword by God. He beareth not the sword in vain. So that civil authority has the power, has the authority to execute justice in a society. They are to protect the citizens of that country from external threats and from internal dangers. To execute justice in behalf of the citizens of that country, they are given the sword. Now the church is not given the sword. Jesus said to his disciples, put up the sword. But the civil authority is given the sword. But that sword is not to be used for injustice. And that sword is not to be used to execute the innocent. The sword of the civil authority is given to execute justice, not to perpetrate injustice. Y'all still following me? Since 1973, America has legally executed 50 million unborn babies in this country. Can you get a handle on that? 50 million unborn children. Executing children as they come out of the womb. As they are being born. They call it abortion. I call that infanticide. Hitler's philosophy was this. Went something like this. The death of one person is a tragedy. But the death of millions is a statistic. If one baby dies, you think about, oh my, what a tragedy that baby died. But when you look at a statistic, 50 million, it's numbing. You can't get your mind around it. You can't think about it adequately. Hitler said, the death of one person is a tragedy. The death of millions is a statistic, and he proved it by using the sword to execute injustice upon millions of people. Does God notice? That was what Habakkuk was worried about. God, I'm crying. I'm pleading. But why are you ignoring this? And God said, I am not ignoring this. God said to Habakkuk in verse 5, watch the nations. Behold the heathen. Put your eyes on the nations. I am not ignoring this. I'm raising up a nation to execute judgment and justice in Israel. What about America? Don't we all love our country? Don't we all thank God for this nation? If you've ever been anywhere else in the world and you come back to this place, you understand what a wonderful country we've got. What an influence that God's word has had upon this nation. What a wonderful, blessed place this is. But I'm telling you, brother, it won't always be that way if we ignore the commands of God. It won't always be that way if we fail to take seriously the word of God. If we depart from what we built on in the beginning, the truths of the word of God, it won't always be like it is right now. I know we think we've got it all figured out. We've got the economists who think they've got our economy all figured out. And they know how to do everything just right, to keep it rolling on. But I'm telling you, there's a higher power that's in charge of this economy. There's a higher power that's in charge of the destiny of this nation. God is watching to see what we're going to do with the Word of God. Competition to America's economic and military dominance is arising. All you got to do is just watch the nations. This is what God told Habakkuk. Watch the nations. Look at the heathen. I'm raising up a nation. The country of Babylon. Look at the nations. America's economic and military dominance is being challenged by two of the greatest nations on the face of the earth. China and India. Both of them with over 1 billion people within their borders. They are waking up to their potential. Industrializing their country. Creating greater demand for scarce resources in the world. That's one reason why your gas prices are $3 a gallon at the pump. Because China is saying we need more. And India is saying we need more. And they're just getting started. Just getting started. China has joined the space club. Just a short time ago, sent a rocket into space and shot a satellite in space. Both of these countries with over 1 billion people have nuclear capabilities. I just read an article just a few days ago that a man in India had designed a car, manufactured a car. Can't remember the name of it now. Little old bitty car. $2,500. So it's going to make it available on the market in India. And Indians are going to get off of their feet and get in a car and start driving. Well, when they do that, more gas, more oil, more pollution. All of those things are going to be adding up. So what God told Habakkuk is this. I am not ignoring what's going on. Watch the nations. There's somebody on the way to perpetrate judgment against sin in Judah. And besides that, the Lord has raised up enemies to America around the world, the Islamic world. And these enemies are very patient. They're not like Westerners. They don't get angry and say, well, we'll get it over with in a few months, or we'll get it over with in a few years. They are very patient. They are willing to carry on the conflict for as long as is needed. And so, if it takes 10 years, no sweat. 20 years, no sweat. 50 years, we've got a mission. And they are not discouraged by the length of time it takes to get the job done. They are well funded by money we send to buy the oil out of the Middle East. And the governments in the Middle East take this money and funnel it to those people who have in mind the destruction of our own country. What are we to do? Are we to just sit by and be the victims of what's going on in the world? I'll tell you what we're supposed to do. Y'all hearing me now? The Bible says in 2 Chronicles 7:14, if my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. There's a lot of people wants God to heal our land without turning from their wicked ways. But I'm telling you, brother, the only way that we can receive mercy from God is to turn from our wicked ways. Now, I believe this, brother. I believe just as it was in the days of Manasseh that God said, I'm going to judge the innocent blood that was shed. I believe God's going to judge the innocent blood that's been shed in this country. And even if we stop it right now, there are 50 million whose blood is crying out for justice. And so what happens a lot of times, God postpones judgment because of his repentance. And I believe if the people of God will pray, and I believe that right now we are living on borrowed time because of the righteous people in this country who are praying. But if we will humble our hearts before God and seek the face of God, turn from our wicked ways, the Lord will show mercy a little while longer on this country. And don't we want mercy? I'm telling you, brother, I don't have time to get into this morning. But when God moves in judgment, I want you to know it is terrible. It is awful. These people in Judah who would not fear God, they began to fear the Babylonians. And if we will not fear God, there will be something we will fear. Some pestilence, some nation, some plague, something will come that we will be afraid of. If we don't fear God, we will fear something. And God wants us to understand that the main thing that we do is fear the Lord our God. Seek the face of God. Live in obedience to the commands of God. It may be that the Lord will extend mercy to us as a nation. You know, if Jesus tarries, I don't want my children and my grandchildren to become captives to heathens. I don't want my children and grandchildren to live under the dominance of a political system that refuses to let them worship God in spirit and in truth. I don't want my children to live in a nation under the judgment of God. Do you? I want my children to live in a nation blessed and favored by God. And so, it's up to me and you, brother and sister. Every individual in this country must realize you're either part of the problem or you are part of the solution. And every one of us right here in this house this morning, we are either part of the solution or we are part of the problem. And if we will humble our hearts before God and seek his face, turn from our wicked ways, the Lord said, I'll hear and I will heal. And that is what we must do. While Sister Judy comes to the piano this morning, a lot of other things I could say, but I'm going to ring off right there. I want us to take a little time in this service this morning. I don't know, you might not have taken that very seriously, what I've told you. You may be of the mindset of people in the world who think that everything's going to just keep on going. Good times are going to keep on rolling. It don't matter what we do in this nation. But history defies your philosophy. I said history defies your philosophy. One of the most famous books in the world is Edward Gibbon's book on the decline and fall of the Roman Empire. And you might have read, some of you may have read and seen the book, The Rise and Fall of the Third Reich. Hitler was going to found a kingdom that would last 1,000 years. And he had power, military power, and run over Europe like it was a paper tiger. But I'm telling you, brother, God was a standing in the wings. God was a standing in the wings. And the purpose of God is going to be fulfilled. It don't matter how smart men are. It don't matter how good their economic philosophies are. That doesn't matter. What matters is how we respond to God. That is what really matters. Oh, God, help us this morning. Let's stand together. We're not just thinking about ourselves this morning. We're thinking about our children and our grandchildren, because they are going to suffer if we don't do right. You hear me? I said they're going to suffer if we don't do right. I want us to come around these altars this morning, seek the face of God for God's mercy upon us and upon our land. Would you join us in the altars while Sister Judy plays?